Father in heaven, Lord, we are so grateful that you brought us here this morning because I know, Lord, that you have a special message for us. And Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, not only will you give us sight, but also, Lord, that you will awake us out of our sleep. Help us to recognize the times that we are living, for it is our prayer and our desire this morning. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen and amen. Happy Sabbath. Are you happy to be here? Amen. I'm so glad that once again I have the opportunity to share God's word with you. And it is always a privilege. It is always my privilege to be able to share God's word with you. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. We're going to be studying the Bible this morning. Amen? Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading with verse 6. We're going to read the first two messages given to us by the first and the second angel, and then we're going to be studying today's message entitled Blinded with Gold Rim Glasses. Blinded with gold rim glasses. What do I mean by that? Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 6 as we begin. The Bible says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel." Amen? And it's something that we need to understand, and this gospel, it's called the everlasting gospel, but it is no different from the gospel that was preached to Noah, the gospel that was preached to Abraham, the gospel that Isaiah preached. It is the same gospel. A lot of times we get confused thinking that it's a different gospel, different story, a different way of salvation. No. The same God yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. It is the same God that has been wanting to change the lives of people from the beginning of age. From the time when Adam and Eve made that wrong choice and they went astray and sin came into the picture, God has been trying to change our lives. He's been trying to put His character, His love into our lives. That is what the everlasting gospel is. But if I was to summarize the everlasting gospel with one single scripture, I personally believe that the single most important scripture that summarizes the entire gospel is found in the book of 2 Corinthians, if you go there. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, in verse 18. What book are we going to? And what chapter? And what verse? Verse 18. All right, you're still with me. Right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then the books of Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And now we are there, 2nd Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 18. To me, it's the single scripture that summarizes what the everlasting gospel is. Because you may be asking yourself, what is the everlasting gospel? Well, Paul also describes it in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the what? The power of God unto salvation." It is the power of God. The gospel, in a sense, is the power of God to save us, to change us, to transform us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 tells us, "For the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto those who are perishing, but unto those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen? How many of you guys are happy for that? But a lot of us are just wanting to know whether this gospel really works. Whether it really works. Well, I want to tell you something. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "But we," what? "But we all." I love that. Isn't that awesome? I love that because nobody is excluded. Doesn't matter how sinful you think you are. If you have a gallon of sin, God has 10 gallons of grace to cover your sin. Amen? And he wants to transform you. He wants to change you. That is what God, that's why Jesus came to this world. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that the angel told Joseph, "And she shall birth forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from what? From their sins." Amen? So it has been God's plan from the beginning. It has been God's plan from when Adam and Eve made that choice to go against God, when sin entered into the world, that God sent Jesus to save you and me. Amen? How many of you guys are glad for that? Let me see you raise your hand. The Bible here tells us, but we all, with unveiled faces, isn't that wonderful? Unveiled faces, face to face, a communion with God. And yes, my brother and my sisters, we can experience that here on earth. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven. We can experience it here. Maybe not in the full sense, but we begin to experience it here in our own personal devotions and in our own personal communion and our own personal relationship with God. We need to begin experiencing this. And how God sees to reveal himself is how you relate to your family, in your marriage, Danny. In your marriage relationship, God is trying to reveal himself to us. Through the closest bonds of humanity, through nature, God sees to reveal himself through us. And the Bible says right here, to unveil faces, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We are being what? Changed. We are being transformed. Isn't that wonderful? As we come to God, the will of God is to change our lives. The Bible says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Isn't that a picture of a wonderful God? That's the type of God that we serve. And it is not a God that lives in the quarantines of the past, or we can't access it because he lives in the future. God wants to work in our lives right here, right now. Today. He never calls himself in the Bible. You never see God call himself the great I was or the great I will be. He always calls himself the great I am. Because that's the type of God that he is. The God that works in our lives today. And I am not arguing a theological point whether God exists at all times. Of course, he's omnipresent. He is in all times. I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is that the only time where God can work in my life is right here, right now. God is awesome. God is creative. He created the world. But you know that there's something that God cannot do. God will never force himself upon you. God will only expect you to allow him to work in your life. And he will only work in your life as much as you allow him and permit him. So God wants to bless us abundantly. And I'm going to make a little illustration here. If we bring a little cup, God will fill that cup with blessings to the rim. And sometimes it will overflow. But let me tell you something. If you bring him a bathtub or a pool, guess what God is, what do you think God is going to do with that? Exactly the same thing that he did with the cup. But many of us, we are so, you know, we are conformed. We're okay. We just bring a little cup. And God says, okay, you bring a little cup, I can only fill a little cup. Because he cannot do more than we allow him. It's not that he doesn't want to. Does God want to? Yes. Does he want to use you like he used Joseph? Yes. Like he used Abraham and Jacob and Daniel? And Isaiah and Jeremiah, yes or no? Yes, absolutely. But we need to be willing to allow God to do that in our lives. Let's continue reading here, 2 Corinthians, as we continue blinded with gold-rimmed glasses, are being changed into the same image. Isn't that wonderful? The same image of Jesus from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? So the Holy Spirit changes our lives as long as we allow Him. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Romans. We're going to look at this passage, Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. The angel presents to us, the first angel in Revelation, presents to us the everlasting gospel, the gospel that changes, the gospel that works, the gospel that God wants to use to change the lives of your friends, your brothers, your sisters, whoever you think does not have Jesus in their lives. God wants to use this everlasting gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to change our lives from glory to glory, from faith to faith, day by day, into the same image of Jesus Christ. Amen? But unfortunately, we are all asleep. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 tells us, in knowing this, knowing that at a time that it is, what type of time? All right. I was expecting a little bit more of enthusiasm there. All right, let's try it again. And knowing this, knowing that a time is now. All right. What type of time is it? High time. It is a very important time. It is a time that we need to take seriously. It is not a time to be playing around, to be joking around. It is a high time. Why? To awake out of our what? Sleep. My brothers and my sisters, unfortunately, we are all sleeping. According to the parable of Matthew chapter 25, all the church is what? Sleep. But it is time. Why? For now our salvation is nearer than ever before. It is nearer than when we first believed. What is Paul trying to tell us here? That now is the time. Now is the time to really commit 100% to Jesus. And I know that we've been hearing this for a long time. And as Adventists, we're actually well known for that. We come up with evangelistic series with wonderful themes. Revelations, prophecies. Now is the time. Higher than the highest. Pentecost, will He do it again? And we have all these themes. But they're just that. They are just themes. They're just titles. Why? Because God's word has not become real in our lives. All it is just a topic. And we hear Revelation chapter 14 and we go, oh yeah, I heard lots of sermons about that. Yeah, I already know Revelation. I can quote it by memory. But let me tell you something. You may know it. And you can know everything. But if it's not impacted your life, it profits you nothing. Truth without an impact life profits nothing. See, you can know everything about the Sabbath. You can know everything about giving tithe. You can give tithe. You can come to church on Sabbath. And you can know everything about Daniel chapter 2. We're known and famous for that. But if it has not impacted our life, see, the theme, the overall theme in Daniel is that Jesus is going to establish His kingdom here on earth. But a lot of us, we're just going like, oh yeah, Jesus is going to establish His kingdom. But we are trying to establish our own kingdom. We are blinded with gold-rimmed glasses. Because we continue to look at this world and we do not look at the important things. We are looking at this world with gold rim glasses. What do I mean by that? While God is calling us to the everlasting gospel, which will change our lives, not only that, but if you go back to Revelation, as we continue with blinded, with gold rim glasses, Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14, let's go there. As we continue with the first angel's message, here in verse 7, it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to God, for the hour of his judgment has what? Not will come, but has what? We are living. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be honest with you. When I wake up every morning, I don't say, wow, I'm living in the judgment hour. I need to be ready. I need to prepare myself. My name can be coming up in the books of life. How many of us wake up thinking about that? Be honest. Raise your hand. Let me see. We are living in the last days of our history, and everything that we do has been written in the books of life. And the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that thrones were set, the books were opened, and judgment has begun. Since 1844 into 2009, we have been in the judgment hour. Now, you as a Seventh-day Adventist, according to the Bible, where does judgment begin? Where? In the house of God. So to everybody in this world, we should be the ones who should be proclaiming this message. Wouldn't you agree? The message that we need to come back to fearing God. And what does it mean to fear God, everyone? To love him, to obey him, keep his commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 says, what is the Lord required of thee but to fear him, to keep his statutes and his laws, to love him with all your heart and all your soul, to keep his commandments. That is what it means to fear God. But unfortunately, as we read here in Revelation chapter 14, God is calling people back to worship because in the beginning of everything, they have not been worshiping him like he's asking them to. Because people are blinded with gold rim glasses. What do I mean by this? Let's look at the second angel. And another angel follow and say, Babylon, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made of all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You know what's so interesting? In Revelation chapter 18, we hear this same message of God calling his people out of Babylon. Revelation chapter 18, beginning reading with verse 1. Go there with me. Revelation chapter 18. And the Bible says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having a great authority, and the whole earth was what? Illuminated. Verse 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice. See, at the beginning, it was just with a loud voice. Now, not only is he crying with a loud voice, but he is crying with all his might. Which means that not only is it an important message, but it is of the most urgency. Of the most urgency. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the dwelling place of demons, the prison of every false spirit, and the cage for every unclean and hated bird. Now, this is not talking about unclean animals and themselves physically. It is symbolically that the place where Babylon exists, where the place of confusion, where truth and error is being mixed, has become the inhabitants of evil spirits. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a place like that. I do not want to be in a place like that. Verse 3 says, "For all nations have drunken of her wine, of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth," listen to this, "have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become," what? "Rich through the abundance of luxury." You know, unfortunately, we live in a world, we live in a nation that is very wealthy. And unfortunately, what wealth does to you, I'm not saying all wealth, but I'm saying the majority of people that I've seen that have accumulated a lot of wealth, is that it blinds you. Why? Because you think about everything through the eyes of money. What am I going to do? How am I going to beat the Joneses? I need a bigger house and a bigger car and more clothes, because 17 pairs is not enough of shoes. I need more and more and more. And the Bible says in verse 4, "And I heard another voice from" what? "From heaven." This is a direct message from God. He's saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share of her sins and lest you receive of her plagues." The Bible says, do not be blinded with gold-rimmed glasses. What do I mean by this as I finish? Let's go to the book of Matthew. Blinded with gold-rimmed glasses. Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. Here's an example. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And Jesus says to them, "Woe unto you, you blind guys. Woe unto you, you blind guys, who say, whosoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whosoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated to perform it." Now, verse 17, Jesus said, "Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold?" See, the eyes of the Pharisees and the Sadducees were that as long as the temple had gold in it, then the temple had value. When in reality, Jesus was saying the gold only has value because of the temple. Jesus was not speaking about the literal temple. Jesus was speaking about himself. You can have all the gold in the world, but if you do not have me, there is no point. What the Pharisees and the Sadducees is that they were looking at Jesus through gold-rimmed glasses. Their focus was in material things. Their focus was in material things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 tells us something completely different of where our focus should be. Go there, 1 Peter, as I'm finished. I'm finishing here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. And the Bible says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with" what? "Corruptible things like gold and silver." Let me ask you a question. Can gold corrupt or rust? Can it rust? Yes or no? No. Can silver rust or corrupt? Now, in the eyes of God, the Bible says that when our focus is on those things, they have become what? Corruptible. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything wrong with gold? Is there anything wrong with education? Or a good job? Yes or no? Is there anything wrong with family? Is there anything wrong with relationships? No, God shows us how important relationships are to Him. Calvary shows us that. So there's nothing wrong in regards to these things, but whenever they take priority, whenever our focus, our theme is those things above what God is asking us to do as a church, the great commission that He has given us, whenever those things take focus, take priority, and we are looking at the gospel, at the great mission that God has given us through gold-rimmed glasses, everything else becomes corrupted. Why? Because we are looking at life. We are looking at everything that is happening around the world today through gold-rimmed glasses. We are like Sister Lot, who God sent angels to deliver her out of destruction, and she physically left this place called Sodom and Gomorrah, but her heart and her mind, Patriarchs and Prophets says, that we're back where? In Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what she says. This is one of my favorite quotes. She says that she thought it unfair that God was asking her to do such a thing. To leave everything that she so hardly had worked for, and so it had taken her so long to accumulate all this wealth. And when God said, leave it, she said, that's not fair, God. Even though God was trying to what? Why? She had been blinded because she was looking at the situation through her gold rim glasses. Now, I don't have to go any farther, because you as Adventists, you as Christians, know exactly what God has called you to do. My only question that I have is, are we doing it? Or are we so blinded by the glittery of this world that we have become blinded to the great mission that God has for us? Let me tell you something. Happiness does not come from wealth or from possessions. It does not come from those things. True happiness has one source. That's doing the will of God. Amen. Doing the will of God in our lives. One last question. What is the will of God? According to the Bible, what is the will of God? Salvation. What else? Huh? To do justice. The Bible tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, like some think that He is. But He is long-suffering towards that, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. It is our job as Christians to present the people with the last message that God has given us, the everlasting gospel, helping people understand that we are living in the judgment hour and that we need to stop looking at this world and the things that are happening around the world through these gold-rimmed glasses, and we need to get refocused. And the shift of mind has nothing to do with our hands. It has nothing to do with our feet. It has to do with the conscious decision that we all have to make as individuals to give it all for Jesus, to give it all for the cause of the gospel. But a lot of us are so overwhelmed with what society has to offer that we have forgotten that salvation is nearer than ever before. How are we doing the work that God has called us? Are we so overwhelmed with the things of this world that we have forgotten the mission that God has entrusted unto us? I hope not. My prayer and my desire that as we as a church, we will continue to do whatever it takes to bring souls to the kingdom. Whatever it takes, whether it costs me my job, whether it costs me anything, whatever it takes, I need to be willing to surrender that to God. How many of you guys want to do that? Raise your hand. I want you to stand with me as I finish with the word of prayer, but only if you want to do this. If you want to say, Lord, today I want to stop looking at the world. Whatever is happening, Lord, you're trying to awake us out of our sleep. You're trying to wake us up. I pray, Lord, that you will take these gold ring glasses and that you will help us to see the world through the eyes of Jesus. How many of you guys want to say that? Raise your hand. Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll have our hymn of dedication. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you because you are a wonderful God. A God that cares about us, a God that wants to change our lives, that wants to transform us, a God that is real today, now, right here. Father, we are all standing, we are raising our hands, Lord, because we want to say to you that today we want to commit our lives fully to you. We want you to use us, Lord, for your glory. And we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will change us, that you will transform us. Because we know that through faith in your love, in your blood, we can be cleansed. For faith is the victory. And it is in Jesus' name that we ask and pray all these things. Let everyone say amen and amen.